13 Days of Halloween, Penance, a co-production of iHeart 3D Audio, Blumhouse Television, and Grim and Mild from Aaron Mankey. Headphones recommended. Listener discretion advised.
Were there steps there before? Okay, so if the chapel's down there, I know I saw somewhere around here. Not here. Not there. Not there either. Shit, am I crazy? This place makes no sense. I know that somewhere in this nonsense nightmare labyrinth, I saw a lovely little good-for-nothing goddamned library. It's so dark in here. I wonder if they're... Hello? Hello?
Shh! Huh. Keep your voice down.
But there's nobody in here. Are you the librarian?
Mira.
Mira, hi. Do you have, resources for, residents?
Be more specific.
Like legal guides, case law. It would be great to cross-reference everything by false imprisonment. Also, anything you have about this building, where it is, and who's running it. Are we allowed to check out the books, or do I have to read them here? It's just so dark, I'm not sure I could...
We don't have anything like that.
Which part?
None of it. Maybe in the law library.
Where's that?
Not here. What are you really looking for?
Answers.
Answers.
About my case.
Your case. And what is your case?
Well, I don't know exactly. But when they brought me in and read me my file, half the information was wrong, including my name. They arrested the wrong person, but I can't seem to convince anyone or even get them to tell me the reason, and I don't know how to prove it.
Can't seem to convince anyone. You know, it doesn't matter if you prove it. Whatever it is you're trying to prove. No one is going to believe you. No one. In the end, you're not even going to believe yourself.
But I don't belong here.
You and I both.
So are you going to help me or not?
Follow me.
Why is it so dark in here?
Bright light is bad for old books. It degrades them.
Is that really true?
Also, I'm sensitive to light. Here.
What does this say? Those Without Shadow. Published 1883. What's this got to do with me?
Take these two.
The Other Self as an Omen of Death. The Mirrorers. What are these?
You said there was another you. The one that really belongs here.
No, that's not what I never said.
The same thing happened to me. There's someone out there that looks just like me, sounds just like me, has my memories, lives my life. She took everything from me. When I first got here, I looked up everything I could about my case. I can tell you your answers are here, but your solution is not. I understand. Everything now. But it doesn't change the fact that I'm in here and she's out there.
What happened?
What does it matter? You won't believe me.
Listen, if it's anything like what's happening to me, maybe we can help each other. Find a way to prove that neither of us should be here.
You remind me of me. In the early days. The difference is I had already met her. Just like every other day, I was waiting on the train. It was cold, raining. The train was running late. I think about that a lot. If it hadn't been running late. But no, it wouldn't have mattered. I was being hunted. When I first saw her across the platform, for a moment I thought it was my own reflection, mirrored in the window glass. Only it wasn't quite right. Her eyes were shining, like an animal in the darkness. We got on the same train car, I tried to stare without making it obvious, but there was something about her that I couldn't quite make out. Like a mirage when you get too close. When I tried to look at her straight on, my eyes slid off like water. Then she walked towards me. Her attention made my palms sweat, my heart race. I thought it was attraction. Now I wonder if it was some instinct picking up on a predator. I don't remember who spoke first, but when we started talking, it seemed like it would never stop. She said her name was Jade. Jade, like her emerald eyes. Her voice was intriguing, strange, constantly making adjustments, like she'd say,
"False."
"False?
False. It's false what they say, but opposites attracting. You and I are a lot alike, Mira."
I liked her voice. I liked her. I liked her so much, I missed my stop. I thought it was a sweet story. The story of how we met. But it was false. We decided to start dating on the spot. Maybe a little fast. Definitely too fast. Things had started like a storybook. I guess I got swept up in the idea of it. I didn't tell anyone at first. I didn't want to deal with their questions. They were always pushing, you know? They never approved of anything I did.
They?
They, yes. My family. My mother. Especially. At first, our relationship was perfect. We were so happy. Jade listened, you know? She wanted to know everything about me. Wanted to share everything with me.
Yeah. Tell me again. Again.
Other than pictures. She was shy about pictures.
Hold on, let me just... Jade, no, you're gonna ruin the...
We never fought. We were always in the mood for the exact same thing. Whenever I was trying to remember something, she had the answer.
That's what I was gonna say.
When we played games together, she always anticipated my next move. As though she was reading my mind.
You cheated!
She devoted all of her attention to me. Laughed when I laughed. Smiled when I smiled. And she'd get this look in her eye when she touched me. I love you.
I love you.
Sometimes when you're in love with someone, it's easy to ignore the warning signs. But there were things with Jade I just couldn't overlook. I'd wake up and she'd be staring at me.
Good morning.
Good morning.
She'd repeat things I'd say multiple times, changing the tenor and tone until she got it just right.
Say it again.
Why?
Because I like your voice.
Could you pass me that book?
Could you pass me that book?
Could you please pass me that book? Could you please pass me that book?
Could you please pass me that book?
What? Oh, sure, here.
One of the only things we didn't agree on was food. She never seemed to think anything I cooked was rich enough. I douse salads and dressings, dredge vegetables in butter, drown her dinner in oil and melted cheese and gravy. And she'd just push it around her plate. The meat, though, she'd devour. The tendons, the fat, cartilage, the marrow. She didn't care what kind of meat, only the rarer the better. I'd joke her teeth were like a tiger's. By then, she was practically living with me. Even scraps and leftovers weren't safe. Sometimes I'd wander into the kitchen at night to find Jade digging through the trash, or with the refrigerator door wide open, smiling at me with meat in her teeth, eyes shining like the day we met. It would be hard to say exactly when things escalated. Jade was like my shadow. When I would turn around, there she was, always smiling. I had to fight to find any time alone.
Ah! You scared me.
You scared me.
If I managed to catch her unawares, usually I'd find her practicing. Things that people don't normally practice. Staring into space, shifting her face, trying on different types of smiles, using her fingers to adjust the corners of her mouth. But never in front of the mirror. I'd hear her repeating things I'd said over and over, shifting intonation and cadence.
You scared me. You scared me. You scared me. You scared me.
She'd audition different laughs, too. Small and polite. Big and boisterous. Others, I don't know. Sometimes I would look at Jade and she would just be someone else. Like there were pieces of her that changed. I swear when I met her, her eyes had been green. But now they were brown. Like mine. I felt like I was losing my mind.
Your eyes aren't brown, they're green.
Oh, yes, of course they are. I get it mixed up sometimes. I haven't been able to stomach seeing my reflection for a while.
Around the same time, my health started to deteriorate. I woke up one morning, choking on my own tooth. Another with clumps of hair missing. Nails ripped off. Scratches and bruises appeared out of nowhere. I visited one doctor after another. No one could tell me what was wrong with me. But I'd have these dreams. Dreams where I was staring at Jade. But she was wearing a mask. A mask to look like me. I'd reach up to pull the mask off, but it would tear. I'd dig my nails in, clawing it away in shreds. And when the final piece came off, behind all of it there was emptiness. A blank face. But it would smile. Jade's smile. My smile. And there she'd be. Blank. Smiling.
Shh. I was wasting away. I didn't even recognize myself in the mirror. And I was having trouble keeping things straight. Like my memory was being drained. Jade, though. Jade was glowing. Coming into focus. One day, laying in bed, sick to my stomach, I heard this sound from the other room. Chop. 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 I tried to ignore it, but it was insistent, giving me such a headache. This chop. 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 Can you stop? Jade? Jade was in the kitchen cutting carrots. Far too many for any recipe. Especially when she didn't even eat carrots. And she was still cutting. The knife slid through like butter, so close to her fingers.
That's enough! Can you stop? Jade, please! Stop!
I swear she chopped her finger clean off. I screamed and screamed, but she just smiled that damn smile. I must have passed out. When I woke up, she had laid me in bed, put an ice pack on my head where I had bumped it. And her finger was back, like it had never happened. But I know what I saw.
Are you sure that wasn't also a dream?
I know what I saw.
All right.
Then one day I overheard Jade on the phone.
Sorry it's been so long. I've just been so busy.
She was talking to my mom, pretending to be me.
I know I say that every time, but I'm trying to do better.
She sounded just like me, but...
Yes.
Happy. I was never happy talking to my mom. Mom was never happy talking to me.
Yes, I will. I love you. I miss you.
Mom used to say in 1,000 years there would never be someone like me. That she could never love anyone the way she loved me. But that was a lie. Just like everything else.
I know. I remember. Oh, Mom, you always say that.
Jade said things on that call that she couldn't have... That I never told her. I know I hadn't. How?
How did she know?
Hey, let go of my arm. You're hurting me.
The lights! Off! Turn them off!
What was that?
What was that?
Yeah, what the hell was that?
I guess I just got carried away.
Carried away?
Since all this happened, I've become unwell. I don't like people seeing me clearly anymore. Now that something out there is wearing my face, my face feels wrong. Like it's not mine anymore.
I don't understand. How did you end up here?
I killed my mother. Oh, don't look at me like that. It was that thing's fault. It eroded my trust in everyone. It could pretend to be me, convince everyone else it was me. Maybe it could be other people, too. Isolating me more and more. Wearing the mask of everyone in my life, that's what they do.
What they do.
Are you mocking me?
So, you thought your mother was...
Yeah, I heard this sound. Thunk, thunk, thunk. I thought it was Jade. I went into the kitchen to get her to stop. But it was my mother. Standing at the counter as if she'd been invited. Wearing an apron, using a meat tenderizer to pound these flank steaks. One of Jade's favorites. She seemed confused why I was there, almost like she didn't recognize me. And Jade was nowhere to be found. Nothing about that made sense. I thought, could this be Jade? Masquerading as my mother. I confronted her. Tried to get her to show her true face. But she pushed. I told you how she always pushed. So I pushed back. Shoved her hard. I'll never forget the sound her skull made when it cracked on the counter. I didn't move. I just stared at her body. At the trickle of blood on the tile. And when I looked up, Jade was there. Standing over my mother's dead body. Smiling. Inhuman. For a moment. A horrible, sickening moment. I actually believed that she was me, and I was the reflection, the shadow. Then I grabbed the hammer from the counter and I swung it at her face. Blood spattered, teeth skittered across the floor, skin hung from the hammer in shreds. But Jade didn't move. She just stared at me. I swung again and again, determined to unearth the true face beneath. I didn't stop until I saw bone. She didn't move. Didn't react. The way she looked at me, I felt almost hypnotized. I dropped the hammer, and she laughed. Under all the gore I'd made of her face, of my face, it was still my laugh. I tried to ask her why. What had she wanted from all this? From me? But she just smiled. And the words came spilling out of my mouth. Was it because I didn't appreciate my life? Didn't deserve it? Was it because she could do it better? Be a better version? Or was it just a matter of survival? Or that she was hungry? She didn't answer. Only smiled that blank, empty smile. I think maybe she was just tired of being a shadow. She reached out tenderly to hold my hands, even though they were covered in blood. She leaned in as if to kiss them, and then bit my finger clean off. Suddenly, her whole face changed. It knitted back together, rippled and settled until it was mine. Then she lunged at me. I tried to run, to fight, but every move I made, she mirrored, as though she could anticipate my every thought, as though she was me. But so much stronger. She left me there, bleeding on the floor. Not sure how long I laid there, but when they finally arrived, they arrested me. I told
told them what happened, but they didn't believe me. A woman with my name had already reported my mother's murder, alleging a stalker had been plotting to take over her life. I tried to tell them that she was the imposter, that it wasn't even human, but they wouldn't listen. And then I was carted off here. And they tell me I'm not me. But I know it's not true. I know what happened. She's out there living my life, and I'm still me. I'm me, and she cannot take that away from me.
She bit off your finger?
What?
Just like you said you saw her cut off her own finger, but then it was back like it never happened?
Yes.
But you still have all your...
I tell you that some monster out there took my life, that one probably took yours too, and you want to know about my fingers?
Yes.
You don't believe me either. I knew you wouldn't.
I'm not saying that...
At a certain point, what does it even matter? People seem perfectly content to accept the reflection. Maybe she is the better version. I killed my mother, and she went to the funeral. She has my looks, my voice, my memories. She may as well be me. And I'm the shadow. I avoid my own reflection now, because all I see is her. I fantasize about ripping off my skin and what I'll find underneath. I can't trust anyone anymore. I'll probably die here and no one will even know or care. While she thrives, I'll die a shadow. As for your double, I warn you. The more you look into this, the more your mistrust will grow in who you are, what you are. So maybe it's in your best interest to let it go. Or one day, you won't recognize what you see in the mirror.
Well, that's the last time I'll be visiting our local library. Oh, but wait, how do I... Ugh. TV room. Okay, weight room. Art room. Shit, library. Okay, this should be the cell block. And of course, it's not. I hate this fucking place!
Trouble?
Oh, hi. I was, you know, just walking back to my room.
I can show you if you don't mind waiting.
What is this place?
Space to get away. Cigarette?
Wow, you can smoke in here?
I do.
Wow, that's so good.
It's easier to enjoy life's simple pleasures when they're few and far between. What's the book?
Something from the library. The Mirrorers, A Secret History of the Life of Doubles.
Let me guess. Jade gave you that.
You mean Mira?
What's the difference?
When they brought me in, you know, in my file, they had me under the wrong name.
Yeah, you've told me. Clerical error.
Well, that's what I thought, but I'm starting to wonder.
Wonder what?
If it could be more than that. I figured it was all some big mistake. It is a senseless, life-destroying, devastating mistake, but why? What's behind it? Could there really be someone out there impersonating me? Or... I don't even know.
Most people think the hottest part of a flame is blue. But it's not. There's a non-luminous veil around the fire that's almost invisible. Look right there. Don't turn your eyes away. Don't blink. What do you see?
Nothing.
Even though you know something's there.
Yeah. Sorry, am I missing something?
I don't know. Probably not. Seems like your experience is consistent with most everyone else's.
Do you see something else?
At first, I wasn't sure. Seemed like a trick of the light, the product of an overactive imagination. That it was gesturing, beckoning, making faces at me. But the more I looked, the clearer things got. The more familiar the face became. Took me a long time to realize, but once I saw it, I couldn't not see it. It was my face. It always had been.
Fripp, you are tripping me out, man. Is this an allegory for something? Did the doctor slip you some of that Iona God drug shit?
You know, the day I graduated high school, I enlisted.
You were in the military?
Navy, South Pacific. Thought all I'd bring back was a suntan, these faded tattoos, and a shoebox full of snapshots. But I learned something out there. Something few other people knew about. Especially in those days.
What?
Nuclear energy. By the early 70s, I was at the peak of my career. Sought after for whatever was the biggest new project on the market. My last job was... Let's just say we were adjacent to a big city. Millions within the EPZ. And I was the plant's chief operator.
EPZ?
The fallout zone. The thing with nuclear is how it's regulated. It's not. Like all infrastructure, there's big money to be spent, big money to be made. The oversight committees that were ostensibly set up to keep tabs on us, cronies of the power company in their back pockets, every one of them. Anyway, one day I'm in the plant, on the control room floor, and there's an anomaly.
Anomaly?
A problem in our second reactor. For some reason, it's struggling to dissipate heat quickly enough. There's something that occurs in those reactors called a scram. It's a shutdown. Happens in seconds. I initiated it.
What was the problem?
Hard to say. My suspicion is that somebody cut corners, and the concentration of boron was too low. But the data didn't add up. Normally, after a scram, there's some decay heat, and it has to be regulated, but this was more than normal, like 5 times more. Even if the rods were bad, it made no sense. Regardless, we needed time to assess. We could keep the first reactor online while we repaired the second, but half the reactors means half the power. But the board accused me of overreacting, and so they did it their way. Got a technician to short the alarm and create a bypass on the control board to suppress the error.
Sounds about right.
You want to know how many contamination events the world has seen?
Yeah.
So do I. Someone here probably knows. But I can tell you it's more than just Three Mile Island.
Fukushima? Chernobyl?
Sellafield, Grayswall, Frenchtown, Lycoming. The number of times we've come face to face with disaster is staggering, and almost always it was due to someone's greed. A month after the anomaly occurred, we were given a work order to install an experimental new condenser, told it would increase power output an additional 2.2%. I knew the system was unstable. I knew we didn't know enough to go toying with untested tech, but I had seen the guys who stood in the way of progress, and I was thinking about my career, my pension, my legacy, my own greed. So we got the condenser in line and turned the system on piece by piece. Water is led into the containment building. Steam lines are clear. Turbines are moving free. All systems are go. So we dropped the control rods and introduced the beryllium and polonium. Immediate alpha decay from the polonium hits the beryllium. Beryllium releases neutrons. Neutrons hit the uranium, and we've got fission. And that's when it happens.
What?
the anomaly.
It's back?
It never left. But now it's worse, so much worse. Every panel of the control room lit up all at once. We couldn't know if we could trust what we were seeing after they'd fucked around with the alarm, but I was certain we were approaching a criticality failure. The RHR flooded the containment with extra coolant, ramped up the vent fans, had the new condenser removing a ton of heat, but to no avail. I tried to scram the reactor again, but something was wrong. Half the control rods didn't move. Something was stuck. Someone would have to go down there.
You?
Me and a technician. Name of Harry Marks. 20-year veteran. Best in the biz. There was no time to lose, so we suited up and headed into the containment structure. Our handheld Geiger counters were saturated in seconds, completely useless. We could make it 15 minutes at the absolute maximum, even with the suits. 1 minute too long was a death sentence. Harry went to work on the RHR unit, making sure it was functioning at full capacity. I had to deal with a control rod mechanism near the side of the suppression pool tank. Through the window of my hazmat, I looked into that abyss and saw something I shouldn't have. As if my eyes could make out the microscopic, the heavens and the full electromagnetic spectrum in between. The atoms split, the energy surged, and in the heat, the gesture, the beckoning, the face, my face. I was in there. I had always been there, but this time, for the first time, I was seeing myself not from the outside in, but inside out. I had been trapped. All this time, I had been trapped inside. And now, finally, I could set myself free. I needed to be free. As I saw it in the moment, I had no other option.
Rip! What are you doing?
Five sieverts. That was my exposure. I should have been dead. Burns all over my body. Scarring in my lungs. Harry was not so lucky. They escorted him out in a lead body bag, and I was hauled away here to spend the rest of eternity reflecting on what I had done and what I had seen.
But was there a breach? Did it contaminate the area?
I wouldn't know. I've been cut off from the outside world ever since. But if you never heard about it in the news, I'd say they contained it. Or covered it up. My point is, none of us really know what we are capable of when we are faced with something extraordinary. I know there is more than one of me. I believe there are reflections of all of us. And if you find one, when those mirror images meet, the results can be devastating. So you tell me you're wondering if you have a double running around? That's what you're thinking, isn't it?
Maybe.
I'm saying they may be closer than you think. And the smarter, safer decision, don't look at all.
Thirteen Days of Halloween, Penance, starring Natalie Morales. Episode 6, Defense, written by Annie Reese, Alexander Williams, and Matthew Riddle. Editing and sound design by Rima Ilkayali, featuring the voices of Rachel Rosenblum, Wilbur Fitzgerald, and Wayne Bastrop. Directed by Alexander Williams. Executive producers Aaron Mankey, Noah Feinberg, Chris Dickey, Matt Frederick, and Alexander Williams. Supervising producers Trevor Young and Josh Thane. Producers Jesse Funk, Rima Ilkayali, Noemi Griffin, Chandler Mays, and Casby Bias. Script editing by Lauren Vogelbaum. Story consultants Ben Bolin and Matthew Riddle. Casting by Sunday Bowling CSA and Meg Mormon CSA. Production coordinator, Wayna Calderon. Production assistants, Jenna Johnson and Winona Lowe. Theme music by Rose Azerti, with vocals by Anna Humler. Recorded at This Is Sound Design Studios in Burbank, California. Engineered by Ross Arono. Special thanks to Romelia Osorio, Nathan Rule, Glenn Nishida, and Rob Mosca. 13 Days of Halloween was created by Matt Frederick and Alexander Williams and is a production of iHeart Podcasts, Blumhouse Television, and Grim and Mild from Aaron Mankey. Learn more about the show at grimandmild.com/13days and find more podcasts from iHeartRadio by visiting the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Happy Halloween.